Today, our text is found in Galatians 5, 22 through 23, and Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and I now have these memorized, Ginger. Not the whole scripture, just the gifts. From Galatians. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. And from Ephesians. Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for others' faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourself together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
It's good to have Jill back with us. I was asking her about her trip. And, of course, if you saw her post online, the trip was wonderful. It was the return home that was the nightmare. But they are safely home, and we're glad to have her back. And, of course, Claudia, thank you this morning for being our acolyte. Will you pray with me and for me? Oh, God, open your word to us this day and remove any obstacles from our hearing and from our receiving. Amen. I have never met anyone, not a soul, who has described themselves as being patient. Do you describe yourselves as being patient? Most of us say, "Lord, give me patience," because we need more patience. We may describe other people as being patient, and we know people who are patient. And all of us have those moments when we are patient. I kind of think of it as having pockets of patience. And I use that term, pockets of patience. And, you know, when in a football game, the quarterback is in the pocket. That means he is surrounded by his line that can protect him. And so he has all the time in the world, it seems, to find the right place to throw the ball. And so he has that moment of being patient. And so all of us have those pockets of patience in our lives. Especially if there's something we enjoy doing, we might have all the patience in the world with it, but put us in other situations and we get extremely frustrated. My mom is the kind of person who has all the patience in the world with children. You could put her in a room with children and she would be happy as a lark. And she would have all the patience in the world with those kids. Sometimes, other situations, not so much. But then we all have those times, don't we? Most of us agree that patience is something that most Americans are lacking. And it seems that we are growing increasingly impatient by the day. Is it any wonder? Because we have become a society that demands instant gratification. We want things immediately, and it's gotten worse as technology has enabled things to be given to us immediately. We now demand not only second-day delivery on packages we order online, we want same-day delivery, and we're willing to pay that extra for same-day delivery. We binge watch an entire new season of our favorite shows on live stream channels and get frustrated with those shows that still want to do it one week at a time. I'm an Outlander fan. Outlander is showing just one episode a week. And I'm thinking, please give me more. I want more. But we're conditioned to live streaming and to doing that binge watching. In addition to microwaves, we now have instant pots and air fryers that make cooking a lot quicker. Many coffee drinkers have turned to Keurigs, which will give you an immediate cup of coffee, one cup at a time, rather than waiting on a whole pot. Mind you, I am not that person. I will never sacrifice taste of coffee over time it takes to make coffee. I'll wait for it all day long if I have to. With the abundance of store and restaurant apps, we place orders in advance so that we can pick them up on the way home from work or from shopping. We fork over money to get that early bird check-in at airports or to get the pass that allows us to skip lines at amusement parks. We expect immediate results from text and emails, and we don't understand why people wait when they can do it so quickly, because we all have a computer in our hands every day when we're going about town. All of this impatience with situations, with things, sadly leads to our being impatient with people. Whether it be those that are directly related to the situation that causes our impatience, or they're just around to receive the frustration of our impatience. And sometimes it is the people themselves that make us impatient. But when we unload our impatience onto others, we are not being Christ-like. We are not being Christ-like to them at all. We're not putting forth a positive witness of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Our scriptures today remind us that we are called to be patient people. And not only are we called to be patient people, but as Spirit-fed people, it should naturally be a part of who we are. It is listed as one of the manifestations or characteristics or attributes, whichever term you want to use, of the fruit of the Spirit. And then in the letter to the Ephesians, it is mentioned in instructions to the church on how they are to conduct themselves. But notice once again the root of one's patience. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Because of your love. As we have pointed out, with joy and with peace, patience, like them, naturally flows out of our love for others. It naturally flows out of that Christ-like love that we have for others as we grow in our love of Christ and our understanding of who we are as created in the image of God. And it should be that natural way for us to relate to other people. Not to have to say that we're sorry because we acted impatient, but it should be more natural for us to act patiently as those who are filled with the Spirit, even when conditions or circumstances may justify our being impatient with them. And sometimes there's reasons, legitimate reasons, for why we are impatient. The Greek word for patience in this passage is makrothumia. And it has a dual meaning. It means to be patient in situations. And here the old verbiage of long-suffering may help us better understand this definition of makrothumia. Long-suffering. Able to hang in there. We're just able to hang in there and not give up. It is the ability to withstand difficult situations and not be defeated until the appropriate time. Until that right time comes. William Barclay describes this uniquely Christian patience as the spirit which never admits defeat, which will not be broken by any misfortune or suffering, by any disappointment or discouragement, but which persists to the end. It is that patience that allows us to sit in a long line at the checkout counter when we're, or the drive-through when we're going to get something. The patience that enables us to get stuck in traffic. The patience that enables us to even have trouble when we're traveling, getting home. It's that patience that enables us to endure. But macrothumia also means something else. It is also understood to have patience with other people. To have patience with others. Again, Barclay writes, John Chrysostom defined it as the spirit which has the power to take revenge, but never does so. The power to take revenge, but we choose not to. J.B. Lightfoot, the New Testament scholar, defined it as the spirit which refuses to retaliate. And then he says, macrothumia is the spirit which bears insult and injury without bitterness and without complaint. It is the spirit which can suffer unpleasant people with graciousness and fools without irritation. Ooh, I like that. The spirit which can suffer unpleasant people with graciousness and fools without irritation. We've all come across people who are unpleasant, haven't we? How do we respond to them? We all have come across people that we might term as fools, even though I don't like using that word. But even Jesus called a group of people fools, didn't he? How do we respond to them? Do we respond to them out of irritation, or do we respond to them with graciousness? It's a tall order for us, isn't it? Yet it is this disposition that we are to have as those who are living under the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. This is how we are supposed to be acting towards others when we become frustrated with them, when we become frustrated with situations and they just happen to be in the path of our ire. We are to respond with graciousness, patience, not impatience. Our constant struggle to be patient, whether it be with our circumstances or with others, reminds us of just how difficult it is a journey to walk with Christ and to be Christ-like. And this may be the one thing that really points that out, because it is very easy for us on a day-to-day basis to become impatient at some time during our day. But this reminds us of how difficult this journey is. Being Christ-like, walking with Jesus, is not easy, folks. It is not easy. We can't do it without spending that time with God to be in His presence and to become more like Him. Though we remember that this patience is a natural overflow from loving as Christ loves, and the more we love as Christ loves, the more patient we are with others and with the situations that lead to impatience, is how we are supposed to respond. To be more patient with others in the situations that lead to impatience. But what do we do when we feel impatience rearing its ugly head? When we feel that heat starting to rise within us and our face begins to flush from that anger or that frustration, that impatience, what do we do to get that under control? How can we stave it off? How can we remain composed? How can we be gracious and loving rather than act out in frustration and anger? You probably have had people say to you, just breathe. Just breathe. And I'm going to say to you, just breathe. Just breathe. We've talked about breath before, but it's important to mention it here as well. Because as those who are followers of Jesus Christ, those who are filled with the Holy Spirit, we know that breath for us is more than just air. Yes, it is oxygen that we take in, but it is so much more than that for us. The Hebrew word for breath, for air, is ruach. I've said that word before, which means also spirit. It also means spirit. So every time we breathe, not only are we taking in air, we are taking in the Spirit of God. We are reminded in Genesis that God breathed God's breath into us, the divine breath. God breathed the divine spirit into us, which reminds us that we are created in the image of God who breathed into us. And it forever connects us to that divine being. We have a permanent link between us and God that can never, never be taken away because we have the breath of God within us. And so as we breathe, we are calling upon God who gave us that breath. I think I have mentioned before that when we breathe, that we are actually saying the name of God, the Hebrew name for God, Yahweh. Rabbi Martha Prager writes in Path of Blessing, "You may be aware of a Jewish teaching prohibiting us from pronouncing the name of God. It is true that we cannot pronounce the name of God, but cannot does not only mean forbidden. It also means it is simply not possible in any ordinary way. One way to understand this is that the Holy One revealed to us an unpronounceable name, thwarting our temptation to appropriate God, because in the Hebrew tradition, to know one's name was to have power over them. We're created to never have power over God. Just at that point where our use of language to define, limit, and control might be activated, Jewish tradition has inserted a profoundly counteractive experience. If we try to speak a limiting and confining name, we experience just the opposite. We try to pronounce the name and we breathe. We try to pronounce the name and we breathe. Then we understand that the name of God is neither Yahweh or Jehovah. It is the breathing of soul and life energy into existence. In other words, the name of God is breath itself. As we breathe, we remember not only that we cannot define and control the source of life, but that the source of life unites us in a chain of reciprocity. My breathing out is your breathing in. The very molecules that were a part of me become a part of you. Breathing in oxygen, I exhale the carbon dioxide everything green breathes in order to make more oxygen. Each breath revitalizes. With each breath, we call God's name and are inspired. Each breath is life. So our breath reminds us of the sacredness of all life. And not only does it connect us to God, but as she says, it connects us to one another. Because as I exhale and the plants around us create that back into oxygen, you inhale, and so we are connected in that ongoing process of breathing in and out. And so for us to breathe, for us to breathe is more than just to pause for a moment. It's also to remember who we are, whose we are, and who we all belong to. We all belong to God and we all belong to each other. And so it helps us to be patient. It helps us to be patient. It reminds us of the sacredness of all life. As we breathe, hear those words again, we remember not only that we cannot define and control the source of life, but that the source of life unites us in a chain of reciprocity. It's harder to be impatient with someone that we are connected with, isn't it? And so as we breathe, we remember that we're connected to God, we're connected to each other, even the stranger. Another thing that we can do is similar to that, and that is to use a breath prayer. How many of you have used breath prayers before? Okay, some of you are familiar. A breath prayer is simply a very brief, can be a scripture passage or a short saying that can be divided up into two small short sections where when you breathe in, you say part of it quietly to yourself, and when you breathe out, you say the second part of it. For instance, our prayer that we used last week of St. Francis. You could breathe in, "Lord, make me an instrument," and breathe out of your peace. And in breath prayers, you just say that repeatedly to yourself. And what we find when we do that is it helps to lower our blood pressure, helps to calm our situation. It helps to make us patient in those times of impatience. So when you're stuck in traffic, instead of sitting there thumbing the steering wheel or honking the horn or revving the engine, just get quiet and offer a breath prayer until you feel that peace begin to come into you and that patience. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Let my light shine so I will glorify you. And from this passage in Ephesians, be patient with others because of Christ's love. All of those can be used as breath prayers and many other passages of scripture or sayings that will help you to be patient and to be quiet and to calm your soul. Lastly, and this is by no means an exhaustive list of things that you can do, but I wanted us to think of things that are related to who we are as people of faith. Lastly, is just to stop and to really look at the person and the situation that you're in. Really look. Really take notice. Don't see past them, but look into their eyes. Look into their hearts and listen to what they're saying. And look and listen as if you were looking through the eyes and listening through the ears of God. When we do that, we've talked about this before too. When we do that, we begin to see people differently, folks. We really do. We really do begin to see them as God sees them. Not as the problem that is in our way, but maybe as someone who might be going through their own problems at that point in time. Instead of needing our anger, they need our compassion. They need our patience. They need our assurance. And so for us to simply stop and to truly look at those that frustrate us, those that we might deem foolish, and to see them as God sees them will help us to be more patient with them. In Jesus' life and ministry, he encountered many situations and people who certainly tried his patience. And again, we tend to want to think of Jesus as never having been impatient. Folks, he was fully human and fully divine. So yes, Jesus experienced impatience. But Jesus knew how to control that by relying on the Holy Spirit within him. Yes, there are times in Scripture where it seems he lost his patience. But it was always, if you'll notice, always with the religious leaders who put the thumbscrews on their own people. That says to us that there are times when our impatience can be used effectively and positively. When we see injustices and we speak out or act on their behalf. But not without, as Jesus did, first spending time alone with God in prayer and seeking God's guidance and will in that. Even at the table, Jesus, I'm sure, had to keep his impatience in check. Because gathered there around him were 12 men who had spent 3 years with him, who still did not understand who he was, still didn't grasp what he had come for. And still had no clue what was about to happen, even though he had been preparing them for that. Not only that, one of them among them was about to betray him, to turn him into the authorities. But yet Jesus did not lash out at him. Instead, Jesus simply said, "Go and do what you must." Peter, Jesus' closest friend, was going to betray him, or going to deny him, and Jesus knew that. But out of his, what could have been impatience, he didn't withhold giving bread to Peter. He gave it willingly because he loved him. And the remaining 10 would be nowhere to be found when he was crucified. So yes, even Jesus knew impatience. Even Jesus knew impatience. Today, as we gather around the table, I'm sure that there have been some times when Jesus has been quite impatient with us. And we can probably name those times in our own minds. Church, why haven't you done this yet? Why haven't you listened to what I want you to do? And why haven't you done it? Church, why are you afraid? What are you afraid of? Church, don't worry. Trust me. But yet Jesus invites us to his table. He invites us to come because he loves us. And in his patience, he breaks bread with us, gives us the cup, and says, "This is my gift of love." Today, as we come to this table, we have some new folks with us. This is not a United Methodist table. It is not a table for those who are righteous and those who are not. It is a table for everybody. I've said before, and I will always say it, you can be a believer or not a believer. This table is still open to you because it is a means of God's grace working through these gifts. So don't think you're not good enough to come to this table. None of us are. But thanks be to God. Jesus Christ has made it possible for us to come. Will you pray with me? Oh God, forgive us for being an impatient people. Perhaps it is that impatience more than anything that causes us to act out in anger and frustration, to say unkind things, to not be gentle with others. And we know when we do that we are harming our witness, because that's not showing people your love. You want people to know your love. They already know their faults. They don't need us pointing them out. They just need us to love them. And part of that is being patient with them. Lord, help us to stop and to breathe so that we can remember that all of us have been created in your image. All of us have the breath of life in us, and we're connected by that breath of life. Help us to remember those passages of scripture or sayings that can be a breath prayer for us to help diffuse our anger. And once again, Lord, open our eyes and our ears to truly see and hear others as you do. Let us be intentional about that. Lord, may this fruit of the Spirit, patience, be manifested in us. Today and always. Amen.